Sir George Galloway.
Not since Rocky Marciano fought Don Coquel has there been a more one-sided contest than we've witnessed this afternoon and this evening in this debate. Indeed, if you'll forgive me saying so, the member for Nottingham East personified the Don Coquel in this debate as the only supporter of these measures to speak so far, and it's now 7:15 in the evening. It's such a rout, it almost feels like a liberty to join in. It's such a rout that if this measure passes with these provisions intact, if not tonight, then later, then it will actually be a triumph for party management, but a serious defeat for democratic politics in this country. But it's a funny old world, Mr. Deputy Speaker, as a former Prime Minister once said. We've had a brilliant, bristling defence of liberty from the Tory front bench, backed by a brace of former ministers in Mrs. Thatcher's government, whilst the party opposite, with honourable exceptions, I'll grant you, are going to be asked by their whips to vote through this measure. The party opposite, which year after year after year, as my friend from Hackney pointed out, voted against the Prevention of Terrorism Act on precisely the arguments that are best adduced by this side against this measure. Namely, that these kind of laws sacrifice our liberties but guarantee us no extra securities. On the contrary, they act as a recruiting sergeant for those who wish to destroy our liberties still further. And the Home Secretary was just wrong when she described the threat that Britain faces as being on a scale unprecedented and so on. The IRA campaign in Britain was far more deadly than the campaign of Islamist extremists today. The Prime Minister came within an inch of losing her life in a hotel in Brighton. Members of Parliament were killed in Brighton, in this building, in their homes. The cabinet window had a rocket fired through it, and the cabinet had to take cover under the cabinet table. There were bombs in Parliament, bombs in the Tower of London, bombs on the underground, bombs everywhere in this country. But we never sacrificed, at least on this side of the water, the essential liberties that we're now being asked to sacrifice in this flawed strategy. And that's my point in the 4 minutes available still to me, Mr. Deputy Speaker. This is an egregious measure, yes. If it goes ahead, it will make things that little bit more difficult, yes. But it's part of a flawed strategy. Because it, and if I may quote myself, when the House was recalled after the atrocities of 9/11, I said, sitting on that side, as I was at the time, if we handle this the wrong way, we'll create 10,000 new bin Ladens. And that's exactly what you do when you pursue policies like this, which act as a recruiting sergeant for extremism. I know that there are extremist Islamist organisations preying on the fringes of the Muslim community. I've been a victim of them myself. And much more deadly was the victims in Aldgate East Underground Station in my constituency, whom I watched being carried by the tube workers and the emergency services on 7/7, or those being carried into the Royal London Hospital in my constituency. I know that there's a problem. There are extremists trying to lure young Muslim boys mainly, but girls too, onto the rocks of separatism, extremism and violence. But it's our point in opposing this measure that we are assisting these people. It's not, to quote the Shadow Home Secretary, a human rights point. It's actually a security point. You're actually making your avowed purpose more difficult to achieve by telling the Muslim community who feel already beleaguered and besieged, who are told constantly in the yellow press and by some politicians that there's somehow an enemy within. It's telling them that the liberties and the democracy which we say we hold dear, so dear we're ready to invade other countries to impose it, that the liberties and the democracy that we say we hold dear, we're ready to suspend, we're ready to abolish at the first whiff of grapeshot. Now, the 55 dead on 7/7 was far more than a whiff of grapeshot, that's true. But if we, by this measure, recruit new allies for bin Ladenism and for the mindset, the medieval obscurantist mindset that he represents, we will, as has been said many times here, be doing the terrorists' work for them. If members...
On that point, would the Honourable Member not accept that there are similarities here between internment in the Northern Ireland and during the 1980s and the measures proposed here in acting as a recruiting sergeant for terrorists?
I was about to turn to that very point, Mr. Deputy Speaker. If ministers listen to no one else in this debate, let them read, still better, watch the video of the Honourable Gentleman, the Member for Foyle. It was the most important speech, actually, that was made in the House today. The Member for Foyle is here to tell you from the streets of the north of Ireland that the approach, the securocratic approach, the approach of suspension and abandonment of liberty in defence of liberty was fundamentally flawed and recruited thousands of new soldiers for the IRA campaign to which I previously referred. Now, Mr. Deputy Speaker, I represent tens of thousands of Muslims. Even my worst enemy in here, and there are a few, would concede that I have more interface with Muslims in Britain, especially young Muslims, than virtually anyone else all over this country. As a candidate, as I am in the London Assembly elections, in the last week, I've been to three major Muslim events in Barking and in Newham and in Tower Hamlets, and I will attend many more. I must tell you, and I ask you to believe this, young Muslims in Britain are feeling besieged, feeling unfairly put upon, and they don't need a radical cleric to make them feel that way. This idea that there are ideologues out there that are responsible for the radicalization of Muslim youth is fundamentally flawed. It's not the imams, it's not the ideologues that's radicalizing young Muslims in Britain and indeed around the world. All you have to do to be radicalized if you're a young Muslim is switch on the television news and look at the pictures from Palestine, look at the pictures from Iraq, look at the double standards being employed by Western statesmen in relation to these kind of conflicts. That's what's radicalizing the young Muslims here and abroad. And it will not be solved by these kind of measures. It will be made worse. That's the truth of it. And so I say to the government, which has already got so many problems, even I'm feeling sorry for them, because notwithstanding what I said earlier, I don't want this side to be sitting on that side in the next parliament. I beg them, turn back from this folly. Folly enough there has been. Turn back from this folly before it's too late.